Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open.
We are Kayfabe, the People's Band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. All or as many wrestling promotions that you love here and there, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE, Ring of Honor, or New Japan, they got some theme songs out there. We will be playing them. And there will be some songs that we're going to cover that may not necessarily be wrestling theme songs.
Okay, I'll try to get that down a little before the end of the show.
Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer. Back in the day, in the early 80s, he used to come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. That's just one
before
example.
The show,
and we are going to be playing everywhere we possibly can. Birthday parties, corporate events, wrestling shows, Comic Cons, anime conventions. We may even do anime songs, so, you know,
to a variety of things, but our bread and butter is going to be wrestling. And we used to be a voice for the voiceless, you know, and now it's become, at least in the mainstream, a symbol of misogyny, gay violence, fiscal irresponsibility. So I figure, join them. In the club of VIP, I got a big mustache and a big ID. I look like Wooly Willy with a really Wooly Willy. And I bypass the bouncer, pass my annex and I flex the bouncer. Wowzer, look at all the bozos, looking for a ride on bozos. And I spot a little Tino, booty so big, call it Oprah's ego. We go do it, through it, she says, mia, mia, mi amigo. Pull it out, stick it in your mouth, and I'm up in the back of ya. Swallow, bitch, there's people starving.
Well, good evening and welcome to Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. And it is a special summer edition of a show that has never been attempted before by humans and probably will never be attempted before by humans again. And I am Steve, along with the professor, Nick Swinky. Swink, are you there or did you give up?
I'm here.
I was expecting that, dad. I don't think we have Turtle tonight. Turtle is working. And on the dials, as always, one Martez Ale. Martez, the king of Open Talk Radio 313. How the hell are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I'm trying to keep this thing going, trying to keep this thing alive, man. It's nice to hear you guys back.
Well, you know, it's been a minute since we've been on the Blog Talk. And we are here on Blog Talk, courtesy of Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. It is our home. It is our benefactor. It is the great company that allows us to do what we do, and we will be doing it more often playing forward. Like I said, I'm Steve, and you know the Swink, and the Turtle is listening somewhere out in the great beyond. And we will be taking phone calls tonight. You got us for an hour as we give you a special summer sampler. And we're not going by our usual title because this is not that show. This is kind of the sad remnants of IMS 2013-14. This is That Wrestling Devil, a hybrid of That Wrestling Show and Devil's Radio that occupied airwaves on another network once upon a time. And Swink, do you remember those days?
I remember those days. Indeed.
Your enthusiasm is absolutely off the chart as normal. Glad to have you on board. So tonight, the Swink and I are going to carry on with you for the next, say 56 minutes. And we're going to talk about a lot of things, not necessarily just wrestling, but we will talk a little wrestling. We're going to talk a little bit about Marvel We just got the new Loki series that dropped last night. So the Swink and I are going to react to that a little bit. We are going to talk a little bit about the can we even call it the Arrowverse anymore, Swink? Because, you know, he's dead.
Well, it's called the Arrowverse, and they haven't changed the name, so that's what it is.
So we'll certainly talk a little bit about the Arrowverse. First of all, to those that are listening, we are very happy to be back in your ears this evening. I know Mama Swink is listening because I just talked to her this afternoon, and she said she would be. How does it feel to know that I'm talking to your mom behind your back, Swink?
Well, that's nothing new. And you're not the first person.
Well, that sounded kind of seedy. What'd you think of our opening theme song?
It was something.
Oh, my God. Anytime you can play a little Bo Burnham on a network program, it's always a great thing. And we like to have fun here. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Turtle is our friend, and Turtle has a little segment we're going to do a little bit later on in the show tonight where he sent me a rant, and Swink, you're going to really, really enjoy the rant tonight because it's something that you have felt strongly about for a long time, and I think you'll really enjoy the enigmatic Turtle getting really deeply personal. And, you know, I'm just going to hope that it doesn't get back to the people it's aimed at because that's no good for anybody. But Turtle's grievances will be aired a little bit later on in this program. Swink, it's our first night back since April. Where do you want to go first? Do you want to talk about Frank the Clown and the helicopter invasion of the weekend prior? Do you want to dump right into Loki and meeting Morbius? Or do you want to back into the Arrowverse? Or should we just talk about Martez's problem with WWE women and wrestling women in general? Because we got a lot of topics we can cover tonight.
Well, before we do that, I guess we should give out the number, huh?
Yes, yes. We want you to call because that's what we do here. And if we don't have to talk for the next, say 53 minutes, if we could have some help, we'll always gladly appreciate it. Go ahead, Swink. Hit the people.
646. 646-668-8672. That's the number. 646-668-8672. That is the number.
You know what you could actually visualize right now is Martez sitting in his little studio with his finger on the end call button going, yeah, this is about as bad as I thought it would be. And, you know, we probably should have waited until till the gorilla position incubated a bit before we had these two maniacs on the show. But I'll tell you what, even at our worst, we still have our 3 cents on wrestling, don't we?
Right. We should probably talk about what happened on Saturday since we were both there.
We were there in what was a gorilla position production meeting, if you will. And where were we, Swink? Where was the Ghost, the Turtle, the Swink, the Steve? Where were we on Saturday?
Saturday night we were at Warrior Wrestling Stadium Series in Chicago Heights at Marianne Catholic High School.
Warrior Wrestling was something pretty special on Saturday night, I thought. You know, I enjoyed the show. I always enjoy the show. But anytime Principal Steve gives us great entertainment and helicopters, well, we just have to take notice and say that was really special, don't you think?
You love that helicopter.
Speaking of helicopters, we'll see if this works. I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to give it a shot here. Martez Ale has a clip that was taken from Marianne Catholic High School this past Saturday night, Warrior Wrestling, and things went to hell in a handcart for Principal Steve after he threw Frank the Clown out. But Frank, never the man to listen to authority. And then this happened. Martez, if you please. It's either a helicopter or a blender. And if you couldn't really hear it, it's because the helicopter was so loud. Principal Steve, although he was attacked by clowns via the air, had the last laugh, didn't he, Swing?
Indeed, he made the announcement for the next show, July 17th. It is going to be a no-holds-barred match. It is Robert Anthony, managed by Frank the Clown, against the Murder Hawk monster, Lance Archer.
So, Lance Archer, a beast of a human being, managed by Jake the Snake Roberts, will be coming down from All Elite Wrestling to Marion Catholic in Chicago Heights to face Robert Ego Anthony with Frank the Clown in his corner. How about that for a main event?
That's a pretty big main event. We've seen Lance Archer in Warrior Wrestling before. We know Frank the Clown and Robert Ego Anthony have, you know, they've plagued the show many a times. Last time we saw them together, Joey Janela put them both through a table with a Swanton bomb off of a goalpost. So we'll see what Lance Archer does to these two on the 17th.
You know what I really like about Warrior Wrestling is that Principal Steve has no fear and will take chances and allow wacky things to occur. I certainly liked the goalpost moment with Janela and Ego. It was unlike anything I ever really saw. I mean, obviously we've seen crazy things before, but I, you know, maybe it has happened before other places, but I never saw it live, a guy jump off a goalpost and through a table. I thought that was pretty amazing. And then the whole helicopter incident, where there was a legion of clowns, a legitimate clown army waiting for a helicopter to land on a football field in an end zone as Frank the Clown stormed the gates, took the ring by force, to deliver the ultimatum that he was pissed off that he was not on the show with Robert Ego Anthony. And instead of being arrested, that must have been some kind of felony to land a helicopter in a public place where there are people. I mean, God help us all if something would have gone wrong there. But it takes balls the size of cassava melons to make a move like that and to take over a show. And instead of getting him arrested, what does Principal Steve do? He signs him to the biggest match of the summer and brings in the Murder Hawk, for God's sake. He could be rocking AEW gold by then, couldn't he?
Entirely possible.
So, I mean, you're psyched to go back to Marian Catholic, right? To see the Murder Hawk versus Robert Anthony and Frank the Clown. I mean, that's must see. I mean, we have to go, don't we? Are we kind of required by law?
I don't know. Are we?
I feel like if you witness a clown army lay siege to a wrestling show, only to have the head clown rewarded with the main event. I mean, I kind of feel like we're bound by some kind of wrestling proxy to get tickets and go back. I mean, I feel like it would be an injustice if we didn't.
Well, if you are listening and would like to get tickets to the event, warriorwrestling.net is where you can go and get your tickets for Saturday, July 17th. 7 p.m. bell time is the start time on that one. Again, Marian Catholic High School in Chicago Heights. That's the location, warriorwrestling.net. That's the website where you can get the tickets. Matches will be announced for that soon.
And it's going to be great. And, Swink, you know what else is going to be great?
Hold on one second.
Yes, like we're going to all the thousands of people listening, we're going to hold for you. You take your time, man. If your pizza's done, go get it out of the oven. We'll wait. Martez, do you have any, like, Jeopardy hold music?
I think we can get that going.
Well, Martez, how do you feel about Frank the Clown invading via helicopter? I mean, you were watching it. You saw it being trippy. What do you think about that match coming up? The Murder Hawk Monster, you're familiar with him against Robert Anthony and Frank the Clown. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, these guys, they better be ready. They better be ready because the Murder Hawk, as you know, he's no one to mess with. He's no one to play with. The Murder Hawk is one of the more dominant wrestlers going today, so I would suggest guys prepare.
I'm freaking it out. I'm freaked out that the Murder Hawk is going to be so close to my house. I might not go just because I'm intimidated that much.
So we
got that going for us. And another thing, you know, we like wrestling here on this show. I mean, normally when it's a normal week, we focus on wrestling, and we're going to talk a little bit more. And while we wait for Swink, before I unveil the top 10 list that I have concocted for this special show, I want to go and talk a little bit about what's going down this Saturday in Michigan City, Indiana. It's the return of Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, and we've got lots of great matches that are happening. The show is sold out, but it will be available within a month or so on Fight TV, Amazon Prime, powered4.tv. So there's going to be a lot of places you can see this show, but unless you got a ticket months ago, you can't go to Michigan City and see it because sold out. It's our second consecutive sellout, so we're very excited about that. And some of the matches that we've got going are pretty spectacular. Marche Rocket will be fighting a member of the Tribunal. We've got Youth Gone Wild versus the Outrunners in tag team tournament action. It's leading up to the big tag team tournament coming in August, October. And one of the feature matches on the card is going to be for the CCW Heavyweight Championship title, the freshly won title won by the Shogun Chris Logan. And he is going to be defending it against former well, I don't know if I can't really call it Impact. I guess I'll call it TNA. Former TNA superstar D-Ray 3000, the Frogun. And a few months ago on a little show that I do called The Power Hour, I had a chance to sit down and talk to the Frogun. And Martez, I believe we may have a clip of that if you are so inclined. And we'll hear what D-Ray 3000 had to say about the Shogun being the champion and what's going down on June the 12th.
You will know him on June 12th. Give me your impression of Chris Logan.
Chris Logan, you know, it's funny they call this Grapple Masters because everything I've watched this guy, I can say, okay, my man's got his stuff together. He's on point. He's good. You know, I can't wait till June 12th. Before we get in, just to talk to him and see how where his mind is at. Because it's going to be something June 12th. It's going to be something Chicagoland wrestlers haven't seen before. Because the Frogun is coming June 12th and is taking that wrestling jewelry. So if Chris Logan, he's got the skills. I'll give him that. He's got the tools. But it's going to be funny to see if he's got them nice and sharpened up like this. June 12th.
Yeah. Here you have it. Strong words from the man known as the Frogun, D-Ray 3000. D-Ray,
look at how sharp that is.
That is the sharpest kick I've ever seen. That's
hurt looking at.
Better than Ginsu, for God's sake. That's sharp.
They got it from here. This Ginsu came from this.
That's right. That's the original Ginsu knife.
Yeah.
Every can in the world. D-Ray, I can't thank you enough for taking time out to visit with us tonight. This has been a real treat for me and a real thrill. Thank you.
Well, I have fun.
Thank you for 21 years of walking up and down the road, entertaining everybody you see. You're a class act. You're a great man. And I cannot wait till June 12th to sit at that commentary position and call your match. It'll be a great honor for me. And it's been a great honor having you on this show tonight. So I thank you.
I'm just saying, he think about it early. He's like, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack. All these great matches. So you think you're going to be around by the end? By that match?
I'm going to get in better shape with all the mopping I'm going to do between
and
now.
And then I'm just saying, you'd have made some enemies along the way. You might be dead by the time the main event come on.
Yeah, don't talk to me about Paragon. That's a story for
And that is a little excerpt from an interview we did with the man that's trying to capture gold Saturday night against the Shogun, Chris Logan. It'll be D-Ray 3000 and the Shogun grappling at Grapple Masters. So I'm very excited to be a part of it. And I hear that the Swink has returned. Swink, are you back?
I am back.
What are your thoughts on Chicagoland Championship Wrestling's Grapple Masters and that main event, the Shogun Chris Logan versus D-Ray 3000?
Well, D-Ray 3000, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time, to quote Obi-Wan Kenobi. D-Ray 3000, most people remember him from his run in TNA. He is still going strong in professional wrestling. Gets an opportunity here to, you know, win the Chicagoland Championship Wrestling Championship, but he has to beat a man who defeated two men to win that title, Shogun Chris Logan. Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, their debut show, I know, is available on several different streaming platforms, and it's going to be an exciting show this weekend. I know you're going to be on the call for that show.
Yes, I'm very excited. It's our second event sold out. I'll be doing the show with Joey Roth, the villain, Roxy Hart, the villainess. We'll have a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of excitement. C-Red, my Power Hour partner, will be there, and he will be wrestling along with Miles Mercer and Jackson P. Larkin against the Wolf Kai Dojo, featuring Janai Kai, Yo-Ya, and Braven Fett. And it's been my hope that Janai Kai and her educated feet kick him right in the skull and knock the red right off of C-Red. But, you know, as I've said many times, C-Red is a hardened battle general. The band's all about strategy. He's the Bill Belichick of professional wrestling, and he will go in Michigan City with a plan, so that'll be a hot match. We've also got the Tribunal versus No Coast. It's very personal. People have been abducted. Injuries have occurred as they set up for their rematch. I know I have been threatened by them. So we've got a lot of stuff going on Saturday night at Rappo Masters. Sin City Playboys will be in action. Garrison Creed will be in action. We've got Gunner Brave will be teaming up with Country Air. So a lot of superstars, a lot of people of great reputation going to be in the building in Michigan City. It's going to be a hot night for sure. So if you don't have a ticket, don't worry. You'll be able to see the show in its entirety over many streaming services. And like I said, as I always say, I'm just happy to be there. Swing, because we're talking about Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, I feel like this would be a great time to do my top 10 list that I made specifically for this show. Now, once upon a time at Devil's Radio, we would do top 10 lists quite frequently. It was something that we did regularly on the show. And the one consistent thing about these top 10 lists is they are awful. They are never funny. They are never good. But, hey, you're going to keep trying until you get it right. So tonight, I got a special top 10 list just for the fans, just for Martez, and more importantly, just for you. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Nick Swinky, I feel no energy from you. I will ask you again. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Let's go. Do it.
All right. Martez, do we have any music to read the top 10 list to? I liked it. It was snappy. It was snazzy. Anyway, we'll move right along here.
Yeah.
Tonight's top... There we go. It's either a top 10 list or I'm going to sell Geico insurance. So that's either here nor there. So tonight's top 10 list is brought to you by the good folks at... Sleep, do we have any sponsors?
No, we do not.
We have no sponsors. No, we don't have one sponsor?
Nope.
Cricket. Well, we are brought to you tonight by the crickets of Nobody Listening, which is why we went on hiatus. But it's neither here nor there. So tonight's top 10 list is top 10 things about wrestling that are hated by Nick Swinky. Here we go. At number 10, the Hurt Business.
What?
That's not true.
I don't need to say anything else. Nick Swinky hates the Hurt Business. At number 9, anything CSW related, because Nick Swinky is, in fact, an elitist wrestling snob.
Also incorrect.
I feel like that's the most accurate statement I'm going to read in this top 10 list. Moving right along to number 8, the overuse of finishing maneuvers, including the dreaded false finishes, a.k.a. the Canadian Destroyer Epidemic.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Hey, I got one. Number 7, my ignorance and misuse of properly performed wrestling maneuvers, including the Canadian Destroyer Epidemic.
That one is also true.
At number 6, CTW 2.0.
What's that?
I have a disclaimer about that one. This joke was constructed prior to my employment there, thus making this more of a category number 9. Nick Swinky is an elitist wrestling snob.
I don't know what CTW 2.0 is. I don't know what you're talking
number
about.
Five.
CTW is dead and buried.
Number 5, the overall popularity of the Fish Mox rivalry in Fire Pro. That just burns your soul that people love that so much, doesn't it? It eats at you alive.
No, I rather enjoy Moxley beating the piss out of you, so.
Well, that's the story of my life. People do enjoy my piss being beaten out. Let's see, what else do we have here? Number 4, interviewing Chris Miller.
Oh, I hear that interview is still going on right now to this day.
Well, you know, some things don't go as well as I hope in my head. Number three, my ignorance of Lucha Libre and its history, because I believe the divisions rise and set with Gran Blanco Presidentora.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Number two, anything produced by the WWE after 2013.
Now, that's not true. NXT was 2014.
I missed it by a year, damn it. Okay, and the number one reason, the number one thing about wrestling that's hated by McSwinky, any promotion Steve Aaron is associated with, has worked for, or is friends with any in any way, because although we have done multiple shows together, Nick Swinky has a Lex Luthor-style hatred for our hero, Steve. And there's our top 10 list.
You said they're usually never funny, so.
Well, we were not. Hey, at least we're consistent with the bad stuff. But anyway, we had a good time doing it, and I had another top 10 list prepared for this evening, and you will get that on a coming edition of the other show that we will be doing in just a few short, well, I don't know, we'll do it in a very short period of time, but we will do it. So that's our top 10 list, and that is the first 31 minutes of this show. Martez, as producer and owner of Open Talk 313 Radio, have we at least gone up halfway to my 2 cents in wrestling? Are we at least at half of their capability?
Now, I don't want to get them involved, but I'm loving this show right now.
We're 40% to Jed, and we're rising. The next 29 minutes, woo! You ain't seen nothing yet, man. Woo! It's so hot, you can't even touch it. Real hot, super hot.
All right, well, I think it's time to switch gears here, I think.
We're going to shift gears. We've talked a little wrestling. We know we've got some callers, and we'll take them in just a little bit. So be patient if you're on the line. We will have time for you before the end. Nick Swinky, shift those gears, damn it, but don't strip the transmission because it's expensive.
Martez, do you have the intro queued up for me?
Yes, I do. Is it for the porno or wrestling?
Yes.
Yes, it's for the pornos. Let's have that intro.
No, not that. It's time for Tales from the Multiverse.
I wasn't sure we could do pornography on this show, but I guess, yeah, hey, Open Talk 313, it's very liberal.
Hey, we really can't, but what the heck?
Tales from the Multiverse.
My God, that sounds like sophisticated IMS technology at the zenith of its existence.
All right, so Tales from the Multiverse was a segment I used to do on that wrestling show where instead of talking about... we talk about the TV shows and movies related to comic books and the such. So this evening we are going to be talking about a brand new show that just debuted on Disney Plus. Of course, we are talking about the show about everyone's favorite villain, Loki. We're going to be talking about that. Also, we'll have a little bit on Superman and Lois because speaking of hot things, that is a hot show right now.
Agreed.
But let's...
Spoiler alert.
Let's start...
Wait.
Yes, spoiler
wait,
alert.
Yep.
We are about to talk about some things that are related to both of these shows. And if you have not watched the latest episodes on these shows... don't listen to this part of the show.
All two of our listeners that are listening intently right now, if you haven't watched these shows and you don't want the ending spoiled, you might want to click off so we're talking to crickets again. And, Mom, I love you.
So, Martez, do you have the trailer for Loki or no?
Yes, I do. It's a 2-minute trailer. Do you want me to play the whole thing or just half of it?
I don't think we need the 2-minute trailer. You know what? Forget the trailer. It's 2 minutes. We only got about half hour, so.
So let's just do 10 seconds. Is that okay?
That's fine.
I can name that tune in 10 seconds.
I know what this place is. The timekeepers have built quite the circus. And I see the clowns are playing their parts to perfection. Big metaphor guy. I love it. Makes you sound super smart.
Okay. Well, Steve, I'm assuming that you watched the episode.
I did. I made a point of doing it before I collapsed into unconsciousness last night. After Miranda kicked my ass.
Well, to set things up for everyone, Loki is the continuation of the story of Loki, Laufey's son, of course, who is the brother of Thor, the son of Odin, and is the god of mischief in Asgardian lore. The last time we saw Loki, he was in Avengers custody in the movie Avengers Endgame. We saw him escape with the Tesseract, which was, you know, not a part of the plan, as we see in this show, picks up exactly where we last left Loki, as he manages to teleport away with the Tesseract, ends up in the desert somewhere, and then that's where things take a left turn at Albuquerque. So enter the TVA, the Time Variance Authority. So the Time Variance Authority is a bureaucracy created by the timekeepers, exists outside of time and space, and they oversee all timelines in the multiverse. So when Loki took the Tesseract, he created a variance. He became a variant. And that was not a part of and keeping in line with the timeline, as the TVA is there to make sure things don't go astray. They're there to trim the branches, if you will, which is a line that Captain America used in Avengers Endgame to make sure that they don't create any kind of alternate timelines. TVA is to make sure that they preserve the one timeline as mandated by the timekeepers. So Loki is taken away. He's about to be terminated, basically, when he is saved by a character by the name of Mobius M. Mobius, who is played by the great Owen Wilson. And Mobius.
That was my greatest fear of this whole series, that Owen Wilson, like Luke Wilson in Stargirl, was going to absolutely make this show unwatchable. And as pleasantly surprised I was with Luke Wilson in Stargirl in the Arrowverse, I'm that much pleasantly surprised with Owen Wilson as the portraying of Mobius. So I'm very happy. He did a great job. I thought his character was well done. I believed everything he was selling. And I look forward to seeing how their partnership, if you will, progresses as we go through this series.
So yes, Mobius M. Mobius is an agent of the TVA who specializes in the investigation of particularly dangerous time criminals. And so he decides to recruit Loki to track down another variant, which happens to be another version of Loki. Now, we don't see this version of Loki as they're covered in a hooded shroud. We don't see who this Loki is, but they seem to be killing off members of the TVA throughout various points in time. Now, there are a couple
Which
of theories
refer to
on
the Minutemen, right, Swank? They refer to the police officers, as you will, as Minutemen.
That's correct. So this Loki is going around killing off these Minutemen, preventing them from resetting, if you will, the timeline that these disturbances are causing. So the idea, I think, here is that this Loki is trying to create another timeline, because you can see in an earlier part of the episode, they have this meter which shows this line that if it goes into the red, that is basically the point of no return where it creates a whole nother timeline. And so I believe this Loki's idea is to create a whole nother timeline, because the whole point of the TVA created by the timekeepers is to prevent a multiverse from happening. They claim that there was a multiversal war before, and they are trying to prevent that from happening again. But to me, I think the timekeepers are more interested in preserving their own timeline and preserving the timeline where they exist. And I think this other Loki's idea is to create a new timeline, one where they rule over that timeline, because, you know, that would be keeping in line with Loki. And
no doubt about it.
My idea is that this Loki is not actually Tom Hiddleston. My idea is that it's actually a female version of Loki.
That's a very interesting proposition. I think what fascinated me about this is I really think this is probably the most important series that Marvel has going. If think a lot of where they're going forward in movies is going to be pivotal in where this series goes, because I think the time disturbance and the multiverse, obviously we know that the Doctor Strange movie deals almost exclusively with it. And we also know
that's the title of the film.
Right. And the Spider-Man movie is going to be dealing with that as well. So this, to me, seems like the official jumping-off point. We've had WandaVision, and we've had Winter Soldier and the Falcon that have kind of developed storylines that we will see here and there. But I think this series is really going to set the narrative about how fragile reality and time are and how easily it can be manipulated. And the fact that Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson are essentially going to be time cops, policing the variants that have been created by what the Avengers did. And I thought that was a particularly powerful scene when Loki said that the Avengers should be the ones on trial because they're the ones that tampered with it. And I thought that the sequences that happened from the films that were interwoven into this opening debut episode, I thought it made particularly the sequence where Loki is watching his future unfold that he hasn't seen yet, because this is the 2012 Loki that was captured after the Battle of New York. So the continuity that Marvel has and the way they weave these tapestries of stories that are all interconnected somehow, it is still the top dog as far as storytelling, as far as I'm concerned, because after I sat and thought about this for a while, I'm like, how amazing are these humans that are writing these stories and picking up little Easter eggs that were left behind somehow. I thought it was tremendous. Of all the series we've watched so far this week, I feel like Loki might be the best one that Disney Plus has had to offer. And that may ultimately end up including The Mandalorian, which is beloved by all humans.
Yeah, so there's a few things that we need to unpack from this show, because it kind of sets the table for some of the future projects that are coming up in terms of the movies, particularly a few of them, like the Doctor Strange movie, in the Multiverse Madness, I believe is the subtitle of that film. So that should tell you what is going to transpire here, because, you know, maybe Loki and Mobius fail here, and that creates this multiverse, and we see the repercussions of that in these other films. Now, Quantumania, which is the subtitle of the Ant-Man and Wasp film, that is also going to be very important and related to this series, because the villain of that film is Kang the Conqueror. And Kang the Conqueror, if you know anything about Kang the Conqueror, he's all about time travel. So, and there's an Easter egg in, I believe, the last Ant-Man film where you actually see his city that he created, Chronopolis, in the background in the quantum zone, or the quantum realm, rather. So, you know, and in the comic books, in the comic books, Kang the Conqueror, who in the future becomes a character named Immortus, is associated with the Timekeepers. So a lot of this stuff is probably going to tie together in a way. So Kang the Conqueror, I don't know if we're going to see a cameo of him in this series. That would be pretty cool if that were to happen, but I can't say for certain. But they're definitely setting the table for a lot of the big plot points for these future movies with this show. And, you know, something else real quick before we move on to Superman and Lois is that you see them explain what happens when someone goes off the beaten path of the timeline. They create something called a Nexus. Well, Scarlet Witch is often referred to as a Nexus level being. So I believe that she is going to play an important role in the future here when it comes to all this time travel type stuff here.
Well, it's going to be very exciting. And, of course, Loki is on Disney Plus. New episodes will air each and every Wednesday. We got kind of used to Fridays being the big day. Now we get the midweek treat in the summer. I guess they feel like the kids are out of school. Give them something to do midweek to give the parents a break, the adults. I mean, I watched this show with my kid, and I was way more into it than he was. At many points, he said, "Dad, this is stupid." So, you know, he felt that way about WandaVision when it first started, and then, you know, WandaVision got good and he was riveted. So I get the feeling that at age 14, you're not looking as deep into what's going on as maybe you are at age 50, having grown up loving superheroes and comics your whole life. I'm really looking for cool things, and I believe Marvel deals us the cool things better than any other franchise out there.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the other two series, WandaVision and Captain America. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I enjoyed both of those. You know, this was a good first start. And, you know, WandaVision kind of started out slow. I know a lot of people were critical of it first, but then it really kicked into gear. And I feel like this show is going to also do that. I think it's going to – you got to set things up first and establish everything, I think. And I think they did a good job in this episode of doing that. And then I think that's when they really put their foot down, the pedal to the metal here. I don't know how many episodes we're going to get of this show. I know Falcon and Winter Soldier was shorter than WandaVision. I don't know if this is going to be the same length or not. But I'm in for the ride. I've enjoyed all of the Disney Plus series so far. So, so far so good in my opinion.
All right, let's shift gears and talk quickly about Superman before we take a phone call, before we end this show.
The Superman and Lois. A lot of big stuff happening in the last few episodes. A lot of twists. Is M. Night Shyamalan on the writing team here?
You know, he might be. And listen, for those of you that don't watch the DC television on the CW, you're really missing the best of what DC does, because their TV shows are superior to their films. Now that may change, and their films are getting better, although I wouldn't use Wonder Woman 84 as my measuring stick, but they are improving little by little. But the TV shows have been good. Now, you know, they've all had many years. The Flash is what, season 8 now we're heading into, and the Arrow show is done, and you know, Smallville ran 10 years, although that was, you know, a different thing. You know, Supergirl is ending. So, you know, it felt for a while like maybe the CW and DC was losing its traction. And I wasn't overly optimistic about Superman and Lois. You know, I was interested to see how they would do this. I like Tyler as the lead character. I'm not crazy about the Lois character yet, but I'm getting there. But what I got so far in this series is way more intense than I expected, and it's been nothing short of spectacular. It might even be their best show. Swinko.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy the show. I loved Tyler in Supergirl. I thought he was great as Superman, and they absolutely positively got the character right from the moment he showed up on screen on Supergirl. So they nailed Superman to a T. I think they got both characters, Superman and Lois, right. And sometimes you see that's kind of hard for DC to do somehow. I don't know how you manage to screw it up, but they do. But no, this show, you know, a little bit different than what I was expecting. And you have to keep in mind we had the crisis on Infinite Earth, so a lot of stuff has changed in the timeline. So Superman and Lois actually got married years prior than they did in the original timeline before the crisis. And they had children. And so now they have teenage boys, one of which develops superpowers, which is something we saw in the comics as well as his son Jonathan becomes the new Superboy in the comic books. This time around, they create a new character alongside the Jonathan character, but everybody thought Jonathan was going to be the one to get the powers, but the other son ends up with the superpowers. What is his name? Jordan. There we go. Named after his father, Jor-El. He moves back to Smallville, so we move away from Metropolis. And then we have this enigmatic villain character in an armored suit who we think is Captain Luthor, as in Lex Luthor, and maybe he's Lex Luthor from another Earth, because we do see some remnants from these previous Earths that were destroyed from the crisis. They end up on this new Earth Prime. But we come to find out in a major twist a few episodes prior, like 3 weeks ago, that Captain Luthor is actually John Henry Irons, also known as Steel, and he's from another Earth. His Earth was destroyed by Superman and his Kryptonians. He escaped, came to this Earth, assumed the identity of Luthor, and, Steel. I mean, I don't know how I didn't see this this coming. But when somebody said there was going to be a twist, and I was like, okay, now it makes all the sense in the world that he is John Henry Irons. And I really loved the reveal of him as John Henry Irons. I thought that was great. He had the hammer and everything, so I thought that was cool. And then we got another major reveal this week on the show.
I wasn't
that the
prepared
character-
for this. I was not prepared for this twist.
No, that Morgan Edge is actually a Kryptonian, and he calls Kal-El his quote-unquote brother. So the question is he Kal-El's actual brother, or does he mean brothers as in fellow Kryptonian? So that actually, you know, there has been a Superman brother character before, but my opinion, I think Morgan Edge is really General Zod.
Be an amazing twist unto itself, and there are just so many directions that they can go. I mean, you've got the full-on superhero genre stuff where you got Superman against another Kryptonian, so you've got very comic-related things there. You've got very family drama-oriented things like Sam Lane and his perpetual failure as a father and his redemption of sorts. And then you have these two kids that are trying to cope with high school. So there are a lot of levels to the kind of entertainment that this show can give you. You get the popcorn-eating, Superman flying and saving the day thematic stuff often. But you also get deeper stuff, deeper drama, family elements, high school romantic comedy things, you know, with Lana's daughter. So there's a lot of tentacles that Superman and Lois have that I wasn't expecting, and the overall payoff each week is they've got at least three stories going on simultaneously. They've got Superman doing stuff on his own. They have Lois being the intrepid reporter in the small town paper, and then they have these two kids trying to figure out how to how to keep Jordan's superpowers quiet and continuing through their high school career. So a lot of cool elements to Superman and Lois. If you're looking for shows to binge watch, I would certainly suggest this one as well.
It was picked up for a season two, so it will be back next year. So I don't know how they are going to possibly top this first season with season two. They got a tough task ahead.
Well, like I said, you know, the Superman legend and the Superman story has a lot of places they can go. And obviously we have figured out at this point that multi-universes and all that stuff can be changed at a moment. And there will be crossover episodes for the CW shows upcoming, no doubt, as Supergirl ends and as The Flash ends. So things could take a significant turn when that unfolds, presumably next year.
Well, The Flash is not ending. Let's put that out there real quick.
I thought the next season is the final.
No, that is not correct.
No, that's what I read. I read it on the internet, and there's only truth on the internet.
You know what? I think I was the one that told you that, so maybe I am the one that is wrong.
You bastard! You know what I read on the internet, Squink? You want to know how I know this is true? I read this. I want you to tell me what superstar said this. They know a society of strong men would never have allowed what's hitting right now. That's why they attacked masculinity first. What actor said that stupidity?
I don't know.
Former Hercules actor Kevin Sorbo. The sins of Kevin Sorbo know no bounds. He has become like Hulk Hogan to me. I can't take anything he says seriously. I can't even watch the old Hercules show anymore because he has turned into such a moonbeam idiot.
All right. Well, we've got about, 4 minutes?
4 minutes.
3 minutes.
So we got time for a phone call. Martezale, is our phone call still holding?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Well, let's bring her on. We've got friend of our other show and now friend of this show, whatever this show is. Gina is checking in tonight. Gina, welcome to that wrestling double.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, you know what? We're doing an hour of summertime enjoyment. How are you liking the new show?
I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I will be seeing you again at the end of the month. I'm coming to the Liking the Hill show.
Ah, yes. CSW presents Fallout live in Lake in the Hills. Well, we'll be glad you're there, Gina, and you saw some pretty cool stuff at the CSW show that just happened, including an engagement of our friend TJ Steele to his fiancée, Ashley.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew, but I actually ended up getting my hand hurt.
No, I don't know if he knew that. I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're feeling better.
I'm getting there. Well, let's say I didn't. I was trying. I guess this teaches me if they're ever going to do a spot out of the ring, not to mess with the door.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Gina, our show is getting ready to end. Do you have any closing thoughts? Do you have any messages you want to send out to anybody? You got anybody you want to say hi to in the world of radio?
Hi, Martez. Hi, Mancho Dose, wherever Mancho Dose is. Hi, Turtle. And hi, Steve, Ashley, PJ, and Jackson.
Gina, while you're here, do you want to be part of Turtle's debut segment?
Sure.
All right. So here we go. To close this show out, we are going to do the Turtle Rant. Martez,
okay.
Gina, are you ready for Turtle's Rant?
Yep.
Swink?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first installment of Shell Shock with the Turtle. Now, before I get into this, let me explain how this will go. For most of these, I'm going to be somewhat vague, meaning I won't mention actual names of people or places. If I quote something, I may change a few words. I know, what's the point, right? Sometimes those details aren't that important. You either get it or you don't. Some will and some won't. There will be times that I will. Anyway, let's get into it. And boy, am I shell-shocked. I've been in the wrestling business close to 18 years. I've made friends, and I'm sure I've made enemies. It's no secret that I've said out loud over the years that I have been overlooked and sometimes underappreciated. To this day, I still don't get taken seriously. I tend to be forgotten by so-called friends, which leads into why I'm shell-shocked. So check this. A so-called friend and a promoter of a company I worked/worked for said something recently that made me go WTF. Really? What he said was, said town's fans of said company, take notice, we're setting said town on fire, worth the road trip. In his original post, he mentioned the company and town. As I stated, I'm being vague for now. Anyway, my question is this. Who's the weir you speak of? Are you saying that you and the other person are the representatives? I mean, one of the champions or any other roster members are there. It shouldn't bother me this much, but it's insulting, especially when I was the one who saved the company from instant death. Others had a hand or two in it. Don't get me wrong. Probably just bothers me the most because of another reason that I won't disclose here at this time. How can you really sit there and say, we're, in quotations, doing anything when there's a whole bunch of us not included? How can you really say you represent the company that you more or less abandoned? Here's what it comes down to. Great, you are promoting the company you work for and trying to get more fans. I get all of that. I just can't believe you sit there and use the company name that I saved from early extinction to get yourselves over. You're giving those fans hope that the rest of us, or at least some of us, are there. That's just insulting and a huge slap in the face. That is my rant for this week. In closing, clowns carry herpes. At least that's what I hear. All wow. Right, Martezale, let's take this home. There's an old favorite swing. We're very happy to have been allowed to be on Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, tonight. Nick Swinky, it's always great doing shows with you. I hope you at least somewhat feel the same.
Indeed, I do, Steve.
And maybe we will have more shows in the future. The end game here is we hope to be back doing the other show that we love so much really soon. We're working on some distribution things, and once we get all that set up, we will be back and better than ever, I assure you. And Gina, if you want to say hi to the Macho Ghost, wherever he is, now's the chance.
Hi, Macho Ghost.
And there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this fun little special exclusive Open Talk Radio 313 production. On behalf of the Swink, the lovely Gina, Martez Ale, and myself, we will catch you in the future, maybe in another multiverse. Good night, everybody.
This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.